On the beautiful ancient Mount Sinai, there is a St. Catherine's monastery that was built in the 5th century. In the Catholicon, the main worship church, there is a famous Pantocrator icon of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as you look up into the ceiling. You might recognize this when you look. It's a face, but it looks like there's a smile on one side and kind of a frown on the other. And the eye on one side looks a little different than the eye on the other. And as you look up, you say, why did the iconographer portray this icon in this manner? The reason that is given theologically is, as those who are gazing upon this icon look upon it, they receive from that icon what they need to receive. Either they receive the love and the compassion of our Lord by the upturned face on one side of his smile, or they receive judgment if they look at the other side, the other face. And the truth of the matter is that there are times, I'll speak for myself, where I need to have both. This gospel passage that we hear today is an opportunity on the one hand to receive the love and the compassion of our Lord, and on the other hand to say, wake up! And be good to others. That's what today's gospel passage does. And that's what the icon does as well. You know, the world around us is, as we have said on so many occasions, such a busy place, is it not? It is incredibly difficult to have the proper focus in life. The last two gospel passages for the prior two Sundays, as we have begun the Triodion period, the Sunday of the parable of the publican and the Pharisee, and then last Sunday, the parable of the prodigal son, on the one hand portrayed God's love and mercy. Remember in the publican, the tax collector, he knew he was a sinner. He enters to the back of the temple, beats his breast, and says, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. He was not denying the fact that he had made mistakes. God was not holding him up as an example of a good life, but rather holding him up as an example of humility. So with humility, God's love and grace and mercy is opened up to the publican. Last Sunday we heard the parable of the prodigal son, the one who squanders all of his living, and while he's feeding swine in a faraway land, he comes to his senses. He was hungry, and he was willing to eat the food that the swine were eating. And in the midst of the swine pit, he came to his senses, and he said, you know what? I have made mistakes. I've sinned before heaven and my Father, and I'm going to go tell him so, because his own servants live better than I'm living, and I'm not worthy to be his son, just a servant. And so with humility and with that aha moment, he decided to return. And he asked his father to forgive him. And the father, of course, did forgive him. The father in the parable is representing our Father who is in heaven. We hear again love and compassion of our Lord being willing to forgive one who admits that they have made a mistake. Repentance is the theme. And then today, from a good point of view, is an encouragement to live godly, to help others, to live by loving God in living and loving our neighbor. And our neighbor is anyone who is in need, the least of our Lord's brothers and sisters. Interestingly, in this gospel passage we heard today, the ones on the right hand, the sheep, if you will, ask God, when did we take care of your needs? When did we feed you when you were hungry? When did we visit you when you were in need or clothe you when you didn't have anything to wear? And he said, when you did it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. They were not even aware of caring for his brothers and sisters because it naturally flowed from their veins. Life in their interpersonal relationships. Now, we can focus on God's love and mercy, but on the other hand, you know what this Sunday is called? Judgment Sunday. We can focus on the good judgment if we would like to, but if we focus too much on the good judgment, we're going to miss the opportunities that are before us to do even better in helping others. So if you notice the icon when you were coming in, it is an icon of the final judgment. Because the reality is, I'm about 100% sure that you and I one day are going to die. Which means one day in the world in which we live, we are going to have an accounting before God. And so this gospel passage, in a firm way, tells us, asks us the question, are you loving God? Are you being kind to God? Are you having God as number one in your life? And the answer to that question is, in answering that question, the way that you love God, the way that you are kind to God, the way you're forgiving is by the way you treat one another. And not only one another, but the least of, quote, God's brothers and sisters. That which you have done to the least of my brothers and sisters, you have done to me. What does it mean, the least of God's brothers and sisters? Well, it can mean in a cosmic type of a way. For a Greek, could mean a Turk. For a Christian, contemporarily in the Middle East, it could be a Muslim. For us in America, it could be the person that pushes my buttons. It could be a family member. It could be a person of a different race, one that speaks a different language. The list goes on and on and on. In every case, however, the challenge is the same. As you have done this to the least of my brothers and sisters, you have done it to me. Now, we begin fasting traditionally tomorrow for meat in the Orthodox tradition. And then next Sunday at night, we begin fasting from meat and dairy products and fish. But the fast ultimately is a fast from sin. And the fast ultimately of sin is one in which we, rather than doing things that take us away from God, attempt to the best of our ability to do things that take us to God. And in the case of today's gospel reading, focus a little bit more completely on loving God's least, the least of our brothers and sisters. So with that in mind, this is your challenge and my challenge today. As we walk out of here today, as we receive our andideron, our blessed bread today, as we walk out after the beautiful coffee hour by our Poloptikos and go out into Greenwood Village and then scatter to the 27 different places we live in the greater Denver area, try to identify for this period of Great Lent a little bit more clearly and completely the least of his brothers and sisters in your eyes, in order to love, in order to care for, in order to visit, in order to help. As you fast, put aside a little bit of money and philanthropically give it to those who are in need. As you fast, put aside a little bit of your time and give it philanthropically to those that you can care for. As you fast, put a little bit of your talents aside and give them philanthropically to those who are in need. For the glory of God, that you and I indeed might be more completely life livers in His image and growing more completely in His loving kindness, in His loving likeness. Through the intercessory prayers of His Mother, the Virgin Mary, St. Catherine the Great Martyr, St. Theodora, who we commemorate today, the Empress, who brought back the icons after the iconoclastic controversy. His love and His mercy and His blessings be with you forever.